Wow.
Yeah, happy Independence Day.
What was that again?
Happy Independence Day.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had a WhatsApp.
Great celebrations.
I had a WhatsApp message from my daughter, Zara. And she said, Dad, the Americans are celebrating the Independence Day today. And I said, oh, thank you, sweetheart. I do know. She goes, I like to pay my respects, she says. She's funny.
Aww, that's funny.
Yeah, so, well, God bless everyone and welcome to another Skype Fellowship. And it's great to have you all on here. We're all blessed. And I had a really busy day today with my grandson Vinny.
All alone.
It was just me and Vinny, and I walked from all the way Leanne's house to the Kingswood Park, which is about a mile.
All the way.
Well, that's a mile's a long way for me. And I thought I'd put him on the swings. Got there, and he's fast asleep. So I shaded him under the trees because it was quite hot today, and I sat down and just read my Bible on my WhatsApps and all that, but I pushed him back up into Kingswood, and I thought I'll go and have a coffee, and I'll get a sausage and eggs toasty, and as I sat down, I thought as soon as they bring that out, he's gonna wake up. Food. No sooner they brought it out, the little monkey woke up.
Oh, that's your believer.
Yeah, and he just the smell of food, love. But I had a great time with him. Maya went to a few new school she's going to be starting in September, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, and she was all blessed. She was a little bit jealous that she wasn't coming with Grandad and Vinny. But, it's been a real blessed week with the family. God's really good, and lots of things are happening. Still doing work on the house, Anna and Pedro. It's all your fault that you're coming.
There's nothing to do with
it. Nobody joking. So anyway, with that, we'll open up a word of prayer, and I'll pick someone to start. So, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this wonderful Skype fellowship. Thank you for all the hearts and the people that are joining us this evening, that we can just have great fellowship, hear what you're doing and what you're working daily in our lives. Thank you that you load us daily with benefits, God, that you are a good, mighty, powerful God. Thank you, Father, for the teachings tonight, the testimonies, the sharings, and I just thank you for every need being met. Thank you for the people that will be joining on here later, God, and that we can do this fellowship is a real blessing to us and those that hear it. And thank you for blessing all those that listen to it later on the internet, Father, as we know many are coming to listen to the Skype fellowship sharings and teachings. So it's a real blessing, God, that people are getting blessed. So I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I would like to ask Fida to start us off.
Okay, well, great, fantastic. You have to always be ready for God, right?
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I'll share some of the things that I've been working on. I think I mentioned to you guys, I don't know if I did or not, that God has put it in my heart to put together a book, and I've been fighting with it and wrestling with it, not with the information. It's like the information is just flowing. For us sometimes, or for me, people, humans, you know, we always get these little thoughts, you know, is this from God? Is this good enough? Is this, it's all, you know, all those lies that always come to your head. And I'm just constantly being reminded by the Father that I have to put those thoughts out of my head, you know, and because if this is something that He has given me to do, then He has to supply all the means, you know, because it's always something that tries to come up and block you from trusting your Father, you know. Maybe you're too old, you know, what kind of credentials you have, this, that, it's just always stuff. So, I'm really blessed with the things that God is putting in my heart and the things that He's teaching me through this, you know, because my desire, I guess, is to help married couples with what God is putting in my heart. And so constantly I'm asking him to teach me. And one of my biggest questions has been, well, okay, God, you know, I know you are the source of everything, and you are the one that makes everything work, right? So I answer my question with a question. You are the one that makes everything work. So what is it that makes marriages work?
Yeah.
You are the one that makes everything work, right? And he gave me a little bit more than, you know, you are the one that makes everything work. And he actually took me to a verse which my book is pretty much founded on. And let me get to the verse, because I am terrible at quoting stuff. I am terrible at quotes. I have to actually go and read, you know. I'm good at maybe saying what the gist of what it says, but, you know, verbatim quoting stuff, sometimes I'm not able to do that as well. Let's see. So it's the verse that talks about a steward, and the criteria for that is that that person is to be found faithful. So that's the verse that it comes from in 1 Corinthians 4:2. It said, now it is required that those who have been given the trust must prove faithful. That's in the NIV version. Of that verse, that's the NIV of it. So faithfulness, you know, which is really interesting, because, you know, that's the same thing we need for God. We have to be faithful, you know, and basically is that how some people define it, that doggy dog determination to stick with it, to stay with it no matter what, you know. Faithfulness is that we trust in what God has written within his word, what he has told us through Rhema, Logos, you know, the written word. We hold on to that no matter what the circumstances look like. And so with that same type of determination, we use that in everything that we do, because that's who we are. We are believers that are faithful. We have faith. We have been given faith. So we stick with the things of God no matter what it looks like. And so within marriage, that is the same thing. Well, really within any relationship, you know, that's what you're dealing with, is you just have to be committed. You have to be faithful to that, you know. Because doing pastoral counseling, I found out that a lot of couples do not go past the marriage itself, you know, the ceremony. And they don't look into what is involved past that. You know, they get up what we like to call honeymoon phase. They're in that honeymoon phase, and they don't realize that, you know, tomorrow after that honeymoon phase, I might love you, but I sure may not like you. You know, because we're people, right? And we all do different stuff. And sometimes, you know, we get on each other's nerve, you know. So it takes the love that God has given us, that agape, that is going to get you past all that stuff. So, one of the other things, like I said, I'm constantly asking the Father, because I want this to be what he is doing. So you need to tell me how I need to do this, how I need to address this, because there's so many things out there about marriage, about relationships. So one of the things that he really taught me is that in Genesis, one of the first manifestations of the fall, after the fall, was that of blame. And that this is, you know, when Adam blamed God and the woman that he gave him and the wife. And he also showed me that every argument starts with the blame. It starts with the accusation, which is, to me, it just blew my mind, because that's the accuser, right? The great accuser. It talks about in Revelation. You know, he accuses the brethren day and night, that it talks about in Revelation. And how that is his nature, you know, the father of lies, you know. I think it's what Jesus Christ said to, called him. He's the father of lies. You know, the accuser, the blamer, he blames. And it was just, to me, like an eye-opener to see that. That was one of the first manifestations that the fall of man, or that Adam did once he fell from God's grace and righteousness. And how Jesus Christ, that was the first thing that he regained, was our righteousness. He made us right again. He made us where we could stand before God without any sense of guilt, sin, or condemnation. You know, that we're so justified, just as if we never sinned, that we could stand in the court of law clean, and you can't blame us, you know. And it's definitely no such thing as what they call it double jeopardy in a court of law. But how Jesus Christ, he so totally wiped that out. And one of the things I wrote in writing, I said, however, the second Adam, Jesus did not blame. Instead, he took the blame of every person upon himself, thereby bringing peace and leaving us flawless. His life settled every argument against us. You know, the accuser, he always constantly, you know, go before the Father trying to blame, you know, us. I think that's what he did with Job, right? Walking to and fro, asking God, have you considered your servant Job? So Jesus, he took our sinful life and he nailed it to the cross, and in return he gave us his perfect life, a new creation. And the dictionary, well, I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians from the Passion Version, because now we are without blame. There's nothing against us. Those things that we hear in our head, that we're not good enough, we're not righteous. You know, that's the accuser. That's the blamer. That's his MO. That's what he does. That's not our Father. You know, and those things are just lies. He's the father of lies, you know. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 in the Passion Version says, now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart, making you complete holy, and may your entire being, your not just your spirit, but here it says, may your entire being, your spirit, your soul, and body be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the one who calls you by name is trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his work in you. And now he will do it. He has done it, you know, through Christ. He has thoroughly completed his work in us, and now we are flawless. So the dictionary defined this word flawless as without any blemish or imperfection, perfect. And it reminds me of that lamb without spot, without blemish, you know, Jesus Christ, right? And some of the synonyms used are words like perfect, without blemish, unblemished, unmarked, unimpaired, whole, intact, sound, unbroken, undamaged, you know, as good as new, in mint condition, pristine, stainless, spotless, pure, impeccable, immaculate, superb. And it just go on, all these good synonyms, you know. So I guess what was on my heart with that and with writing that and looking into it is to be aware of some of the tactics of the enemy so that we are aware and that, you know, because now when I, not to glorify him at all, but now when I look at something and I may start making accusation, oh, you didn't wash the dishes, or, oh, you know, starting a blame that usually ends up being maybe an argument, especially if the other person is not walking with God. No, you didn't wash the dishes, you know, no, you didn't do it, and you're back and forth, and then this argument start, you know. So what it has done for me is to help me realize when those thoughts that are not godly, because it's not godly, none of that stuff is godly. Blame, accusation, accusing, you know, that's not godly things. God did not make us that way. He made us right. He made us, another thing too. I got this thought in my mind. Hey, you know, I don't know anybody that has siblings, and when you was younger, if you started to argue or fight and your parents come in, how you would point at the other sibling that they started it, you didn't start it, you know, and how you would shift the blame. And one of the reasons as a child that I did that is because I didn't want to be wrong. I wanted to feel right. And it's, you know, and I thought about Adam in that sense that, you know, he started to shift the blame because he no longer felt right before God. He was no longer in that identity that God had originally created, and that didn't feel good on him. So he wanted to throw the blame off himself and put it on someone else, you know. And I thought about little kids, how we do that when we're kids, you know. If your parents catch you, you're like, oh no, I didn't do that, they did that, even though you did do it, but you you don't take on that responsibility and stuff because you don't want that on you. You don't like how that feel. And I thought about how so righteous God had made them from the beginning, and that feeling of now of sin and guilt and condemnation, and then you go to hiding, and you know, because they made leaves to cover themselves because now they knew that what was there no longer represented what used to be there, you know, that righteousness, that identity of that likeness of God was no longer there. So so that's kind of what I'm working on. One of the things that God has been showing me in writing this information, because like I said, I want it so to bless people life, and so that we can look at some of these things in our life and not to the point of, oh, well, I'm going to condemn myself, but no, to the point of getting rid of that stuff in your life, you know. Sometimes you're not even aware these things are going on, but like if you go do a word study, and this is what it did for me on blame, now I can see some of that stuff when it's coming toward me, and I'm like, no, that's not right. That's not the way Christ would think. That's not the way God would want me to think. That's not the love of God, you know. So I'm constantly reminding myself through this study of attributes that are not godly, or that's not of God. So that's kind of, I guess, what I wanted to share.
That's really great. Would you like to pick someone else to share now?
Yes, I know who I want to hear from. Let's see. Is it Christina?
Chrissy?
Is it Christy or Christina?
Chrissy.
Okay, Chrissy. Did she hear me?
You there, Chrissy? And perhaps she can't get the mute off her mic again. Okay, pick someone else then, Afida, we come back to.
Okay, Amy?
Yay! God bless you guys.
God bless you, Amy.
How are you?
We're wonderful. Blessed to hear your voice.
Yours too. Vida, thank you. That was absolutely marvelous. That was such an answer to prayer, actually, because, you know, One thing I noticed about the enemy is that those are the areas he picks, these areas that you happen to be the strongest in, to you know, that he starts to do that picking and the blaming, and you know, and so for the last couple of days, you know, I've been in a funk, and usually I'm pretty much up, but I have been like, wow, I mean, attacked, just the things in my mind that have been going through my mind. And when she said, you know, when those thoughts come in, you know, you just gotta, that's not from God, especially that blame thing, because I mean, it's been going on. The reason is because you did da-da-da, and if you hadn't, da-da-da-da. And it has been like a freaking machine gun. So, but I'm still standing. I find myself just speaking in tongues much, much more. And I have an expectation that God is going to do what he says he's going to do in his word, which is to uphold us, which is to keep us. That was another thing too, is that I don't know where I read this. Where did I read this? I read it somewhere, somebody's commentary someplace. But anyway, it said something about, you know, like when we meditate on the word, and we, you know, that word meditate is to mutter, chew, like, you know, like a cow chews on its cud, and or to, you know, to say it over again. Well, part of that, one of the, in that sentence where they were saying about the meditation, what they said was, and not like the silent monks, you don't just read it to yourself, you speak it out loud. And from there, it was like, yeah, because you're the only, you know, you're the closest person to you, so that's how that stuff gets in your heart. You hear your voice saying those words and meditate on. And then when you ask God for understanding, expect an answer. So that was just yesterday, and things are like, you know, it's not fun, but it is, I have an expectation of good because I belong to the Most High God. And I understand sometimes that, you know, you're, especially if you happen to be an encourager, I love to encourage. I just feel like right now I've just been cut off at the knees, but you know, gotta make my legs grow back, and here I go. It's just, you know, it has been a very it's been difficult, but that's okay. Those who live godly will suffer persecution. So, you know, it ain't making them happy. I must be doing something right. Yeah. But thank you, Vita. That was just, that was really great. That, you know, when you hear those things, those words of accusation, or you're not doing, or you have done, or this is your fault, and, you know, everything that Jesus Christ did, I don't have the power to undo. So, you know, shut up. And I have a few expletives that came between shutting up. But, we know it's real. This is life, and it's real. And we have been called to peace. We have been called to the glory of God, to, you know, to receive that which Jesus Christ has already earned for us. We stand approved before God. We stand with the judgment of not guilty, because he has already paid the price for it. We are in the very presence of God. Our authority is that we can come. We have access to God in every situation because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our head. And so we have a great position. And you know, I was just thinking about what Vita said. One of the things that she said is that that book is for marriages. It's like for any relationship. I was listening to her going, yeah, anybody could definitely benefit from that, because even in a single relationship, when you're dealing with people, you know, it's not just those first few moments where, you know, it's all hunky-dory and you're all nice to each other. I have a friend that's been my friend since my daughter was 3 years old, and let me tell you, she's been through some sugar honey iced tea with me and still stands with me. And we are, you know, it is life, and we have, we live in this fallen world, but we have been rescued from it, snatched out, seated in the heavenlies. It doesn't mean that every single solitary day will go, you know, like cherries in a bowl, but we don't always have to end up with the pits either. So, you know, when you're in the pit, recommit. Stand firm. So anyway, God bless you guys, and I am very, very thankful that I have you, that I am part of the body of Christ, that we are together with one another, and you know, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
So, yeah, with that, how about Big Al? Is he there with you guys?
Yay, Big Al. Thank you,
Amy.
Listen, thank you. I haven't really got much to share. We had an awesome time on Sunday in Oxford. We got really, really blessed by all the sharings and everything else that happened over the weekend. It was truly amazing. A bit of a challenging day today, really, sort of having various elements of my faith tested. And I was like, God, give me some scripture that's going to bless me and inspire me. And he took me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 to 18, where it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that really sort of summed it up, that we need to put on the armor to protect ourselves, because there is an adversary and he wants us to be trodden down and unblessed. So reading that sort of really inspired me just to read more in depth. This really sort of boosted things for me. I feel blessed and happy now.
That's great, Al.
Yeah, thank you.
Who would you like to ask to share next? You can either pick someone on the Skype, or Jason, or Kim.
Who else have we got on the Skype?
You got Kim Haley, you got Pedro and Anna, you got Chrissy, I don't think she can unmute a mic. And you got Marie Carroll's on it, yeah, as well. I didn't see anything then.
Pedro and Anna.
Which one?
Let's hear from Pedro then.
Hey, thank you, Big Al. By the way, just a personal question. Do you like football?
Soccer.
No, soccer is in the United States. You like football? Are you a football son? No.
More rugby.
All right. Oh, okay. That's my kind of guy. Yeah, I like it too. We don't play it in Portugal. I used to see the Five Nations Championship when I was a kid. But well, bless you guys. I had a few verses to share, and I was copying them for my notes from English, and Hen was, is that what you're going to share? Yeah. No. God always does this with me. I'm ready. I got a bunch of stuff, and then he puts another thing in my heart. So he goes without any study done. I just had a few things to share from what God also put in my heart. Been a funny day, a lot of things happening, and And sometimes at night it's hard to sleep. So when it's hard to sleep, or either I speak in tongues or I read the scriptures. And last night I did both. And today I was lying on my bed and resting a while. And God was giving this image I want to share with you, because I believe can bless your hearts. It blessed mine. Yesterday night I was talking on the phone with a believer that came from Hawaii. He's a Portuguese guy. He went to Hawaii. They made a foundational class there, and it was recorded, and he was thrilled with it, and he was sharing with me, and we are talking about believers that we know that are not, we don't see, I don't see them for a while, you know, you see more them because if they live in Lisbon, where he lives too. And we were talking about how God is moving things on the, around the world in different countries, and how people, even I won't say old in the way that you know, old, not only old in age, but in the word, in the years they know about God's word, and people that are, you know, still leaders in some part, like in California, and still, you know, willing to do things with God and change with God. And these younger people that we know, that they stay on their corner, and we're just talking about maybe they I was trying to explain that maybe what happened in the past in their lives and the way they get hurt and disappointed with some people in the family and things happen, maybe now they don't want to risk no more to meet other people and other things that are going on around the world with God, because they don't want to get disappointed again, you know. And so they stay in their corner and do their own thing, their own meetings with their own people, and they hear, but they don't want to know too much about what goes around the world, either in the United States or like when we have been in France. And so, because this believer is aware of what we do, and he sometimes we talk about it, and he tells me about other believers in the States and stuff they are doing too. And God I was thinking about this conversation. God was giving this funny image that I want to share with you guys, is that God was showing me this what happens in God's family. It's like, you know, you have two little kids, you know, like two brothers, and one of them has a toy, or can sing whatever he want, a ball or a car, whatever, a bike, I don't know, that he received from his daddy, and the other brother wants to play with it, and he doesn't want to share that toy with him. So the other goes, oh, mommy, usually mommy takes care of the things with the little boys. And, you know, our father is mother and father to us. So he goes, mommy, he doesn't let me play with his toy, and I want to play with him, you know. And mommy goes, why don't you let your brother play with you? Because it's mine, and I don't want to lose it. I don't want him to damage it, you know. It's mine, just mine. And he stays in his corner with his toy, and he doesn't play with his brother. He doesn't share it with his brother. And his brother is not happy, because he would like to have that sharing, that thing they have. But no, you know, they are back to back instead of being face to face. And this is because they are afraid of sharing what they have, you know, because they are afraid of losing it or damage it, whatever. And mommy may tell them, but if you share that with your brother, probably he has some nice ideas for you both, have more joy with it, you know. You can have other ways of playing with it that you don't have. You can both have more joy. But the other kid says, no, I want to keep it for myself, so I won't lose it. This is funny, you know, because we are like God's kids, you know. We act like kids, and we should understand that in others too. But the wish that God has for us is that we share what he gave us, you know, what he gives us, keep giving us. We don't should keep it for ourselves, because it won't be so fun, you know. Would we be being stolen of the fun that we can have? Because when God gave us something, he gave us for us to enjoy with each other, you know. Yeah. And we lose so much when we don't act like that. I mean, I understand we have to keep and guard our hearts and our relationship with God, but we don't have to be afraid of even telling. I understand why these people probably don't want to risk what they have with God, connecting with others that they don't know what they're up to. But the risk, that's life, you know. You don't go that out of home if you think you can be, you know, a car can run you outside in the street, you know. You stay home, you don't do nothing. That life is a risk, you know, but you walk with God in life, in everything. And why not walking with God in their own things, the things he has for us? And don't be afraid of taking risks. God is by our side, is our shelter, is our shell, our helmet, our, you know, our protection all over. You won't let those things, you know, be damaged. And our relationship with God can always be improved by giving, by sharing and giving and receiving, you know. That's what he wants. I have this image of God like a father with a big, long... We're going to do that when Christ will return, you know. A long, big, endless table with all his kids all around having party, having a big meal and having fun and laughing and... I don't know. It's just what God wants. Well, God wants all of us together in fellowship. I know sometimes we can get there because each one wants to stay in their corner and don't want to come to the other corner, see what's going on. And we maybe would like them to come and have fun with us, but they probably want to do the things their own way and won't play with the same way we will do it. So when you don't play with the same way, you cannot play with someone, you know. There are ways of doing things, and if you just want the things to be done your own way and you don't, you at least consider what others have to say and to give, you won't receive it. So you lose the fun of it. And the fun, the joy of it is in the giving and the receiving, you know. It's not just the receiving or not just the giving. You have to have it both ways. Mm. It's not things will, you know, be stuck, won't grow up. And God does that, you know. God gives you when you go to him. And you will receive from him when you are able, you're wishing to that he will give you back, you know. It's two ways, you know. We talk with him and we receive from him. And we should do that among ourselves. So this is what is in my heart. I was thinking it was funny. I was listening to the sharings and I ain't going to teach about these verses sometime later. Maybe I'm just going to teach about this. And it was so funny because this is so easy as and simple as that, you know. We can complicate, we can, you know, mommy could say and give a big, you know, talk with a little kid that doesn't want to share his things with a brother. But what by the end will be is freedom of will. That's not what's going to change his heart. What's going to change his heart is when he'll decide to risk, to have that relation with their brother, with his brother and other brothers, and whatever comes from there, let God take care of it. Don't be afraid of it. You don't have to fear nothing. And even if sometimes the adversary likes to hurt you where it hurts the most, and that's in the family, you know, in your own heart for the family, even then God will heal, God will provide, God will take care of you, because we are his kids, you know. Doesn't matter if you go play with your brother and you fall down on your knees and you get, you know, hurt, mommy will take care of it, don't worry. I didn't know any kid would stop running his bike because he first time he fell down and hurt his knees. He just get on the bike and keep going until he get his way of walking on that bike. And that goes for everything in life. We have to fall down and get up and keep going with God, and we'll see what, maybe next time he'll give us a motorcycle, who knows. So I'm gonna pass to Hannah. She's okay. Just by my side, and God bless you guys.
Bless you, God. Bless you. Pedro.
Okay, I was, God bless you all.
God bless you, Dad.
It's a joy to be with you all Thursdays are the best day of week.
Amen.
So what I have to share, it's I was thinking, I have been thinking about relationships, not only God and us, our individual relationship, but also people outside in the world, how they wish to have a relationship. We can see them looking for it, for someone that will respect them, that will love them, and where they can be like a sort of blameless, you know, where they can open their hearts completely and share stuff, and someone will comfort them and not point the finger and be straight and say what they have to say so they can be better. And people are looking for that, and some of them never heard about the relationship that we have with God, and some probably don't want to know about it because religious stuff take them away from God. But anyway, it's their decision in their life, in their hearts, and whenever it's the right time, God will be there for them. And thinking about that, our relationship with God is so unique and is individual. We are all different. And sometimes it makes me think about these people that they could be... God gave us everything by grace. It's for free. And sometimes people think that if they are or not worthy of receiving from others, they cannot imagine how we can get things from God for free and by His great grace and for what Jesus Christ has accomplished. So we can be here today with great confidence in our hearts, walking with our heads up and being proud of being God's sons and daughters. And we know that we are clean and purified and loved and respected for God, with God, and we are in His presence. So who wouldn't want to be in God's presence? If we can let them know what they have, what they can have in their life, to be in the center of God's attention will be something for them. It will be new for them. It will be a different day. And that reminds me a verse in Psalms, we know it, 16:11, where it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore."
Amen.
So, who don't want to have God to show them the path of life and to see what He has for us? It's great to walk with Him and to see what He has for us. And we have, in His presence, we have the fullness of joy. And not only that, but fullness of joy. It's great, I think. It's a comfort for our hearts. It helps us to keep going on. And knowing that in His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, that has to do with hope, forevermore, for there's no ending. That sure has to do with hope. And we need to, at least me, I need to be bold and let people around me to know that there is a God that is good. He works with us and for us. He fights our battles. We can be confident and trust Him, and that leads us to be to have a life in great peace in our hearts. And when we are in great peace, we can see more with God. Our mind and our hearts are free from the world things and worries, so we can see with more clear. We can see more clear everything in our lives. And that is what I have to share with you guys tonight. God bless you all.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And I will pass to Kim Hailey. Hi, Kim.
God bless you, Kim.
Hi. I have to testify this evening. First of all, yesterday at our, we have a prayer meeting of the first Wednesday of every month in the our church. And can anyone tell me what yesterday was? What was yesterday famous for?
It was Wednesday.
Very good.
It was at 12.
Moving right along, I volunteered St. Eustace, and that earned me a loud raspberry. But it was Thomas. Apparently yesterday was St. Thomas's Day. St. Thomas Didymus, which apparently is Greek or Aramaic for the twin. We don't know whose twin he was, but he was a twin. And we know that in the 20th chapter of John, where he, or previously said that he would not believe that Jesus returned until he actually touched him physically, put his hands into his wounds and touched him and his hands on his side. So, and although, you know, he's always called the Doubting Thomas, and he's, I think mostly when you read that, he's put down because of, you know, Jesus said that you've seen, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen, but they believed. But if you look in the in the 11th chapter of John, St. John, where Jesus said that Lazarus is dead. And Jesus said, oh, he sleeps, but I may go to wake him. But Thomas said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him, with Lazarus. And I think really he was quite prepared to lay down his life. So he wasn't really sort of the outcast that he was made, that he was sort of deemed to be, and as we all believe him to be. I think he was actually, we think he was something of a hero. And it was that. And then on Sunday we had the ordaining of our rector. He just be ordained, and he will be join us and our clergy. After a year, will be a priest, sort of the deacon. I forget what he is, but it was great. He's a great guy. He and his family moved up here from Bristol. Actually, they've been in Bristol for 3 years, and they moved up here. And he's been ordained, and it was a wonderful service at the Liverpool Anglican Cathedral. It was really quite, because a huge turnout, because there are eight curates, that's it, who are being ordained, which will be priests up to 1 year service. So that was a great day, and it was a great blessing to be there. And he's a great guy and going to make a big difference to our, I think, to our community, Mike and his wife. There's that, and yeah, that's, there was something else that came to mind, but I can't, I've forgotten it now. Oh yeah, this is a tremendous blessing. My energy company, which is GEN, I called it today with my meter reading, because I don't have one of these electric, one of these smart meters. I send in the reading every month. And I called it in, and they took the reading, and then after my inquiry, they said to me, oh, we're going to reduce your bill by £10 a month, so you were paying £58 and not £68. And I thought, what a blessing that is. So God is great. And yeah, that really lifted me. So now I will pass the baton on to Marie Carroll.
Yay! Thank you, Kim. Marie! Oh, she's gone? Ah, Marie, yeah. There she is.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I tried to unmute, and then I cut you off by accident.
Ah. Bless your heart.
Sorry about that.
God bless you.
God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus. What have I to share? Only that God is just a God that loves us so, so much. And I've noticed lately, since I'm really making an effort to speak in tongues much, to pray more, to spend that time with God in his presence. He is just really blessing me with overwhelming peace. And I've noticed through prayer that there is so much power in prayer. It's just amazing. It's like a guy that came into the shop yesterday, he had been suffering with cancer, going through chemo, going through all the treatment, yada, yada, yada. I've been fervently praying for him every day and every evening. And he came into the shop yesterday and he was looking good. And he has said, you know, that he got really positive news and they've allowed him out of hospital now.
Wow.
And he's gone. He said he still has treatment to go through, but I know that God will prolong his life. And I know God, one touch of God's hand upon him, he will be healed. I'm really, really believing for that. And I know because, I mean, there's not, like, with God, all things are possible. And cancer is nothing to God. I mean, God can heal that, and we actually have that power through prayer to heal people, but also by laying on of hands and for people to become completely healed. I mean, we can raise the dead, we can cast out demons. Actually, a good friend of mine that's living in Uganda, he's a massive minister over there. He shared with me the other day that a lady died. She was dead for 2 hours. He got the call, just like Jesus got the call when, was it Lazarus that died, that Jesus waited?
Yeah.
Or who was it? Yeah. Anyway, this lady died. She was completely dead for 2 hours. He laid hands on her. He commanded her to become alive. And she jumped up and she's now alive.
Wow,
and she
was, praise God.
So, I mean, that's amazing. With God, all things are possible. I mean, if it's happening in Uganda, if it's happening in India, it can certainly happen in Ireland and Portugal and America and Spain, wherever we are, guys, because we have that power and we can do the same works that Jesus did. And the devil will try and shout us down. He will fill our thoughts with lies, saying, oh, how can you do what Jesus did? But we can. We have that power, and it's just mind-blowing when you really tap into it. I mean, God is an awesome God, and I don't know where I would be without him. I mean, he certainly healed me in every area of my life, and I'm just so blessed right now and really at ease and really at peace, knowing that God's in control, knowing that he's in the cockpit, he's flying. I heard a story about a girl who was on a plane, and she was a little girl, she was about 6 or 7, and her father was a pilot, and this little girl went to sleep, and then a massive storm happened. There was major turbulence, so on and so forth, and the stewardess woke up this little girl and said, you're going to have to strap up and be safe because we're going through a massive storm, so things are not safe. And the little girl just said, is my daddy in the cockpit? And the stewardess turned around to the girl and said, yes, your father is in the cockpit. And so the little girl just closed her eyes and went back to sleep. And that's the way we should see our Heavenly Father, our Abba. Beautiful. Father. He's in the cockpit. He's driving our lives.
Yeah.
And we have nothing to fear. And we are certainly not going to let any devil and his cohorts get to us. I'm done with him destroying families, destroying churches. No more. We're not to listen to his lies. And we are to just to completely trust God and go to him and know that he's in control, and he would never allow anything to come upon us that we could not handle.
Amen.
Well, that's pretty much what I wanted to share. I love God. God is amazing. And I love you all. And I pray and I speak in tongues for you all the time. And I'm so thankful for this family.
That's awesome, okay? Marie.
Bless. Thank you.
Your heart, darling. What a great show. I love that with the little girl.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
You know, we just got to be thankful because, you know, God, he loads us with benefits every single day, you know, and he's with us, and he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And God is working in each one of us mightily. And we just got to see ourselves as God sees us. We got to see ourselves what he says we are, you know, and then believe that. know, so many times the circumstances, the storms of life, they come up, they distract us and get us to focus on those situations rather than focusing on who we truly are. You know, God is for us, and what was in my heart to share was, I, you know, relationships are just very important, and our relationship with God will also reflect in our relationship with other people. You know, so how we fellowship with God, how we are, and when we recognize who we are, our fellowship will be great with other people. And if people reject us, that's fine. We can just love them and just move on. We don't have to get into arguments. We don't have to get into debates. Some people will like you in this world. Some people won't like you in this world. Some believers may like you and some believers may not like you. But there is one thing. We are one in Christ. We're the one body of Christ. And God is working in all of us. And, you know, signs, miracles and wonders follow us when we believe. The circumstances are there to distract us from believing God, from believing His great and precious promises to us. They're there, they're designed to keep us down, to keep us, our emotions all mixed up, to get us confused. But God is not the God of confusion. He's the God of peace. And He really is for us. And, you know, sometimes we're moving along, everything's going great, we're hot to trot, and then the storms of life rise up, or people may not agree with us on something. But, you know, God's got a plan and He's got a purpose for your life. You are successful people. No, you are successful. Don't think when I get the nice house, or when I get the nice car, or when I get a great abundance that I'm successful. You are successful because you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so no matter what's going on, no matter what situations come up in life, you know, it says in Galatians that it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God wants us to be good to all men. He doesn't want us to get weary. And so when we feel like that, give of yourself, open up your heart, open up your mouth, and look to bless the people around you, whether they're believers or unbelievers. Just look to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. And one great thing that I've had quite a few things that have blessed me this since the last Skype fellowship on Saturday. Me and Kim and Danny and Amber, we took a drive up to London because Danny had to go and get his blue badge to say that he's a qualified Thailand now. So praise God, God bless Danny. And he's very good at what he's doing now, and God is prospering him in the work that he is. In fact, Danny walked into this job. And the guy that employed him, who has his own company, he's very successful, left Danny on the job. And so Danny, he wasn't qualified then, he was learning the trade, but he was pretty clued up on it. And so in the end, he started to oversee all the workers there, all the tilers. And then he would go up and do like snagging, correcting different things that were not done properly, and checking on all the work, loading out the rooms. And then the site managers thought Danny was the boss of the company. So they would go up to Danny and say, well, what do you think of this and what do you think of that? And then Danny started to communicate with them. And Danny's boss was really blessed with this and said, let Danny continue to run the site where they're at. So he's doing very, very great. So we went up to London, me, Kim, Danny and Amber. And on the way up, I said, Father, I want to meet someone famous. And Danny said, yeah, that'd be so cool, Dad, wouldn't it? Just to bump into someone. We never bump into anyone. And so as we're driving along, there's this famous or stroke infamous pub, and it's called the Blind Beggar. And it was the Cray twins, which were gangsters going back in the 60s, went in there and shot a man dead, and this pub has become famous because of this. And so we was driving past and I seen the pub and I said, right, we're gonna go in there. So I got Kim to pull around and we went out and we had a pint. But as we walked in, we seen this black guy come out, and Danny says, I know you. And he said, oh, do you? And I said, yeah, I recognise you too. And it was actually an actor who's been in films like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Mean Machine. He's been on UK television, very well known London accent. He plays comedy roles and stuff like that. But he was actually, he had a tour guide. And he was giving them a tour, these tourists, of, you know, the information about the Cray twins, what happened in the pub. And so me and Danny went outside and stood with the group. And he said, oh, are you with the tours, the tourists? And we said, yes, because we're tours, T-O-R-R. And then we went, no, we're not actually. I said, but I would like my picture taken with you, so let me interrupt you. So I got my picture taken with them. And then we went back inside, and he was really humble, really loving guy. And God just put it in my heart to give him £10. So he was there chatting away to the whole group. And I went, excuse me, mate. I said, sorry to interrupt you yet again, but I just want to give you this. You took some time with me, and I just want to thank you, and I appreciate what you've done, and, you know, and that we like you as an actor. And he was so touched. He was really, really touched to his heart that I'd done that. No one had ever done that for him. And then so he let me and Danny have another picture taken with him. And I added him on Facebook. And he's actually a believer. I was so blessed that we could bless another person. We didn't know he was a believer. So we had a great day of fellowship with Danny and Amber. We was really inspired. We shared a lot of stuff together. And the guys are on fire. And then this Monday, I decided I wanted to go for an Indian curry. So I went up for an Indian curry, and the young man that was serving us, Bangladeshi, and, you know, I was talking with him. He was new into this Indian restaurant that I'd been there, and I wasn't planning on sharing anything. I really wasn't. I just ordered my starters and my mains. And then he started to, you know, say, oh, how often do you come in here? And then I started to share. And then God just gave me these words for this young man. And I think it was about an hour and a half before we even had any main course or anything. And he was asking me so many questions about God. He said, I'm a Hindu. He said, do I have to give up, like, worshipping my idols? I said, well, you know, number one, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then I explained the things to him. He said, yes, I believe that. And I said, you know, and these idols, I said, you know, they're made with hands. You know, they're lifeless. You know, and the people, if you notice, if you know many Hindus, a lot of them have problems, don't they? He said, yes, they do. I said, because, you know, there's evil spirits that can, you know, affect you by worshipping these idols, because, you know, our true worship is for the one true God. And he was so humble, and he took my website down. I gave him my telephone number. I said, if you want to contact anytime, if you want to know more, then just give me a call. So I left that with him, and I just prayed to God. I gave him up to God, and I said, Father, you work in his heart. If he wants to know more, he's got everything there for him to contact. So I, you know, it was a great open door. And I, you know, I was very surprised of how I shared the word, because usually I kind of go for a format of witnessing to people, but it was just totally inspired of God. And this kid, you can see, he was smiling, beaming, kept coming back all the time, asking me more questions and more questions. So it was really great to hear what you shared, Maria, about, you know, people being healed and people being raised from the dead. And if God can do it in India, if he can do it in Africa, if he can do it in Nepal, he can do it here and right where we live, UK, Ireland, USA, and we know he has done, but it's going to get more popular. This is going to be a more occurring thing, you know, because we expect from God, we expect those open doors, we expect to, you know, for God to go to work in these situations. We're to believe him. And, you know, and the just shall live by faith. You know, we expect God to do these things. We know it's his power in us. And that, you know, as he works in us, as we desire, you know, we can raise people from the dead. We can heal the sick. And I can remember when I first began, when I went to India in 2006, I seen all these miracles, you know, people's eyes being opened and what do they call it? Polio, people with polio being healed, devil spirits being cast out. And when I came back here, I said to God, you're not just the God of India, you're the God of the UK. And I want to see these healings take place in here. And then there was one believer who just got diagnosed with cancer in his throat, and he was going to go to the USA to a ministry over there to get ministered to. I said, why the hell are you going there? You can get healed right now. And so he said, yeah, you're right. He said, I don't have to waste all that money. I said, no, let's minister to you. So we ministered to him, and he went back for a series of checkups and completely gone. He was completely healed. So, and then we've seen many more miracles after. So it's just about expectation. Again, you know, we go through seasons of life where we're really hot for God, really move in, then life happens, and we can either let that get to us, or we can just keep our focus with God and keep that relationship with God. Keep hot, keep being a blessing. Don't let things sidetrack you. Anything that affects your faith, get rid of it. If it's people, then withdraw. You know, just look to be a blessing. Look, speak where the doors are open for you to speak. Look to encourage. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, you are approved of God. You don't need anyone else's approval. You have got an open heaven before you, and God wants you to walk in that. And he has that plan, and that perfect for your path, that perfect plan for your path of life. He's ordained this so that you can be successful. And you know, we read many records where wonderful prophets and believers went through hard times, but they were successful in the end. They were, you know, God calls them to triumph. God calls them to shine, and he's going to do that for us. We just got to keep moving, and we just got to keep expecting. So this is what was in my heart this year. You know, God is a great God, and you know, this the relationship we have with him is very important. When you're in those quiet times, when there doesn't seem to be anything happening, or you don't think you're doing much, you know, that's when we spend that time, like Marie says, speaking in tongues. You know, praying with, you know, pouring our heart out to God and speaking in tongues. And I know that I was speaking last week with a couple of believers about, you know, where is this thing going? Where's the direction going? You know, like we started the Skype fellowship, we went to France, then we got people coming to visit. But where is the vision? The point is, it's not that we got to know everything. The just shall live by faith. We just got to every day just keep moving with God, keep in fellowship with him, keep encouraging one another, you know, fellowship with other believers, keep hot with other believers. And we don't have to stick to our own little groups. God has called us to the one body of Christ. There's many wonderful believers all over the world. And God is not a respecter of persons, and neither should we. And, you know, God is a respecter of faith. You want God to move, then get believing him. Get saying what he says. And, you know, don't speak bad about anyone. You know, we wouldn't speak bad about Jesus if he said something we didn't like, would we? We wouldn't speak bad about God if God, you know, says something that we shouldn't be doing. And sometimes we can be very critical. Having a critical spirit, you know, like a critical mindset, criticizing other people will stop you in your track. Oh, he hasn't got it right. She hasn't got it right. They're not focused. It's a load of crap, guys. Just move with the joy of the Lord. He's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share. And now I'm going to hand it over to Jason. And then there's Nancy afterwards, Jason.
All right. Hi everyone, God bless you. God bless y'all. Father's been taking me down a little bit of a trip of memory lane today, just reminding me some stuff, and it's been a bit tough weather-wise, but you know, we don't allow ourselves to get beaten, so we keep pushing anyway, no matter how tough things get. And it's funny, I've just been doing some thinking, been doing praying about different things, and yesterday this trip down memory lane took me to Genesis chapter 1, and I used to read that chapter so often, and it always did something. There was something there that just brought me back in my heart. Just, it was refreshing just reading the whole chapter. And you know how God, you know, he took that piece of earth that was flooded with water and cleared out all the darkness. And there's light and darkness don't stay together in the same place. It's impossible. because God divided them and separated them apart. And he took me down to the point where he created man in his own image. And that was Adam. Adam had Holy Spirit. So Adam had the exact likeness of God, right? The Father. And everything Adam did was perfect. Everything he thought was perfect. Everything he said was perfect. And he didn't know what it was like to sin. And, you know, there was Eden, this place called Eden. And God put the garden there, and he said, I'm going to have man in that garden taking care of it for me. And, you know, it was work, but it was easy work. But Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. Alright? What did Adam give away? Apart from the dominionship of the world, he gave away full access to the tree of life. Right? God said, don't eat of that tree. Just one commandment he was given. And he probably kept that commandment for a long time. We don't know how long. And it just took one blip for him to make the wrong decision. And it cost dearly. And that entered death into the world, the sickness and everything else into the world. And God said, right, I can't have him in the garden because of the tree of life. So man was banished from the tree of life through that one act, which was really a selfish act when you think about it. It was an action that was selfish. He fell for the lies of the enemy that persuaded him, or persuaded Eve originally, and used Eve to get to Adam to pull on his heartstrings. Sure, he should have been strong enough to say no, but he wasn't. Are we? And you just got me thinking. Jesus Christ is a life-giving spirit. He's the Son of God. He's not just somebody that walked this earth and told some nice stories to people. He's not just somebody that talked about people. He's someone that was active. He was actively following the Father, doing his will from his heart. And look at the power he manifested on this earth. And that power healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, and the love was in that power. And when it came to the religions, he confronted them because they were trying to catch him out. John the Baptist confronted them too. And he showed everyone who came and seriously followed him, who really believed what he was saying and followed his words and connected with him. I mean, they came to him because they were hungry. They wanted more. They wanted more. They wanted more. And they knew, because John had said to a couple of his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God. And all he did was walk past. And those two guys were the first two apostles. I forget their names. Was it Andrew and Peter or something, I think? And they started to walk after him, and after a while, Jesus looked around and said, why are you following me? It's in the Gospels. And they said, well, Master, where do you live? He said, come and see. So there was a home fellowship right there, right? First home fellowship. And wherever they followed him, they witnessed him telling people what is available from God. Whether it's healing, whether it's you can be delivered from spirits or whatever it may be. And he always listened to the Father. He knew the Old Testament. He knew it like the back of his hand better than anybody else did. He knew all the commandments of the law. And he was to fulfill every single commandment. And yet, when it came to the accusers, what did he do? He asked God, what do I say? What do I do? And as God told him, then he presented it like the woman caught in the act of adultery. Well, they must have tricked her. They must have put her in that situation. And God knew this. He revealed that to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, well, I didn't condemn you. Go away and sin no more. So it was a stark contrast to punishing people. And he was showing people the true heart of God. From the beginning was to have that family, that relationship we've heard so much tonight, so many times about. And, well, really, through what Adam did, imperfection came into the world. there was never meant to be commandments of law given. So nothing was ever meant to be written down with God, because he just wanted that perfect relationship with people. But we needed something written down in the end so that we could come to know what we are capable of as God's children. And so we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So John 14:12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do." Not maybe, but shall definitely he do also, and greater works than these shall definitely he do, because I go unto my Father. And he encouraged his people, you know, I'm going to send you the Comforter. You'll be able to do the things I'm doing. What, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And I've chatted to a few people, and even recently I've been in conversations with people. And again, we had a great time at Oxford on Sunday, and I was chatting to a couple of people there, and one of them was saying about being patient. Sometimes we've got to wait for the healing. And I said, well, if you look through the scriptures, nobody waited. Whenever Jesus Christ did it, or the apostles did it, it was instant. I said, yes, we have patience, but some things can take a bit longer than others. It depends on a person's faith level and their expectation and desire. And like we know from what God has been showing Lawrence to teach about confession as well, what we speak out. And I had the blessing of ministering healing there to somebody, and with the encouragement of the other believer next to this person. And God had me just sharing with them for 20 minutes first. And I realized afterwards, what everything I was saying was building their faith up. And then God had me ask the guy, what do you desire? So whatever he desires, it's on his faith to receive. I've got the faith to impart it, I know I have. I'm fully confident that as soon as I lay hands on the sick, as soon as I command it in Jesus Christ's name, and I thank God he's already done it before I start commanding, and I've claimed the blood of Jesus Christ on the guy, and I know that if he's got the faith to receive it, he will receive it. And we say about these things can happen where we are. These things do happen where we are. Whenever someone has that faith and confidence and full trust in God that what he says is true, guess what happens, baby? The results come exactly as it says in the scriptures they will come. Jesus Christ didn't lie, and he didn't make things up as he went along. But he showed a pattern where he had authority, and he used his authority when it was a spirit, come out. He didn't pray, he just told it, come out. When it was the sick, the leper, he just walked up to him and hugged him, and the leprosy left the guy. He didn't say a single word, he didn't always have to. And people would bring their sick folk into the streets so that the shadow of Peter going over these people would heal them, and the sick people were healed. So the Father showed me this years and years and years ago when I was asking him, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to be doing? I need direction from you. You know, lead me, teach me, show me, guide me. And he took me to this. He got me to the point of stopping listening to teaching after teaching after teaching from other places, I mean. And he said, stop. And I said, okay. And I said to God, how am I going to move your word? I've got no research materials. Bible came to mind. I thought, okay, I've got your Bible. Okay, you're going to have to teach me it then. And this is where he started me off. And there's another verse that keeps coming to my heart. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 8. This really blew me away. We know we've got Holy Spirit, we can speak in tongues. We know how to get people saved as well. But this, he didn't just command the people that were with him in that day and time, the different things he encouraged people and commanded. But this is for anyone who believes on him. You can put your name there if you want to. Whether you're Israelite, Greek, Portuguese, English, it doesn't matter where you're from on this earth, you can put your name right there, and as soon as you believe, then you'll see things start to happen. you can encourage the person you're ministering to, listen, if you believe this can happen, it can happen. Sometimes God will just tell you to just do it, and the miracle will happen, and that will be the thing that encourages that person to believe. And the salvation of people's souls, God is the expert at it, not me. I'm not. None of us are. But God is the expert at that. And Jesus Christ follows everything God says. And he's the head of the body. He's the one instructing us. And, you know, they're within us. And they're within us, you know, there's angels that go to work when we go to believing. As soon as our believing's there, the angels are ready to do it. Right? And we see the results when we believe. But, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, he says in verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or you could say to people, you can be healed. God can heal you right now if you want. There's no question of it. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. We've received this power freely. We didn't pay for it. Who am I to hold it to myself and be too afraid to step out? Am I being selfish? Am I being afraid? What am I being like when I'm just walking past somebody God wants me to go and touch? Right? And I pray to God for laborers. And a few weeks back, I was in a shop. I got chatting to a woman that works in there. And there was another woman being served. And she kept looking at me. And she said, did you go to Speed Love School? That's the name of the school I went to. I said, yeah. How did you know that? So we got chatting, and from time to time since then, our paths have crossed at random times, and we just have a laugh and joke, oh, you're stalking me, aren't you? And it's just so funny. But then the last time we spoke, she started opening up to me how she suffers from depression. She's going to a church somewhere that helps her and makes her happy. And I'm thinking, okay. And I said, well, let me tell you something. And I was just straight in a loving way to her. I said, I can show you something that will get you to that place without you having to go to that church ever again. And then she told me she goes to another one in another area of Bristol. And when she named it, I thought, oh, what? No. But I didn't say anything. I just encouraged her. I said, well, listen to me. I said, I know. I've had ADHD syndrome. I said, I haven't got it anymore. Thank God. She wants to meet up for a coffee. And I mean, I started by asking her, do you pray? And she said, yes, I'm very religious. And I thought, okay, we got some work to do on getting the religion out, but well, God's got the work to do, not me. Jesus Christ, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what are we going to be doing? We're going to be looking to God, we're going to be believing, we're going to be expecting doors to open for us, but we don't kick them open. I didn't kick these doors open. They just opened. And I said to God when I left that woman, we exchanged phone numbers. I said to God, she's got to ring me. I'm not chasing. I'm not going to chase after anyone. Because I only want the laborers, the people that are going to do the things that you want done, like the connecting with the minister, doing the one-on-ones, right? The tithe and abundant sharing from the heart, as well as the speaking in tongues much, and desiring, praying with desire for the laborers, and for God to just acquit those laborers. I even ask God, what should I pray sometimes? If I don't know what to pray, Father, what should I pray for right now? God just laid it on my heart once for laborers, great multitudes, both of men and women, boys and girls. This is a few years back now. This is a regular occurrence for me, ministering healing. Not because I'm forcing it to happen, but because it comes my way, and when it's in front of me, I don't turn away from it. I don't shy away. I don't say, oh, I'll pray for you, don't worry. We've got to start a prayer chain. Where is that in the scriptures? It's not, prayer chains aren't in the scriptures. Only as the believer was present, either Jesus Christ or the apostles or the disciples, whoever it was that was there, like Peter and John, Temple Gates Beautiful, Peter fastened his eyes on him. He didn't have any fear. He said, I've got no money. He said, but what I've got, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They took a hand each and lifted the guy on his feet. He was healed. He'd been crippled from birth. Hey, what is there that's too difficult for God to do? Nothing. So when I read this years ago, it really confronted my thinking, because I was used to praying all the time and wondering why people didn't always get healed when I prayed for them. But the moment God started showing me about the power I've got, and he showed me Elijah in the Old Testament, what power Elijah had, and yet Jesus Christ got the full amount. And so I've got the full amount of power. And I just wake up every morning, and I'm the same as anybody else. I've got to get my mind in gear. I've got to get my heart going. I've got to get my faith up. I've got to get my confessions going. The same as anybody else has to do. Because we're battling old man nature against new man nature. But even in my toughest times, when there's been ministering to do, I've done it. And because of the faith. And it's not on me, it's on the Father to perform the miracle. And whether it's rebuking a storm, no matter what it is, whether it's rebuking spirits, no matter what the situation is, we're to be bold. And God's heart is connection, definitely. And where there's a minister ministering, he sat around twiddling his thumbs if nobody's bothering. If there's no labourers, he's just sat there, well, Lord, I'm empty-handed. Where's the labourers, you know? It takes people with desire to connect to the minister and literally draw everything out of him, like they've done with Sangha in India, and look at the place that exploded with labourers. Nepal, it's still happening. This is more than 20, 25 years, I think, isn't it? That's been continuing, and it's still spreading. And I just think, I need to step up more. I need to step up more. And even when I do step up more, I need to step up more again, because I'm trying to catch the heart of that. And to catch the heart of that is to catch the heart of God, which from the beginning, he didn't give anybody ill health. He didn't give Adam ill health. He didn't give him lack. Adam was flourishing in every area of his life. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, he's regained the access, full access to the tree of life. So we've got that freely ourselves now, because we believe on him. And what are we lacking? Nothing. And I just ask God at times, help my faith, help my unbelief, get rid of the unbelief, you know, so I can have that faith. And that's really what's in my heart right now. And it just, I love the way it just flows together. It's really good. Yeah,
really great sharing, Jason.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Okay, Nancy, is there anything you want to share, darling? Are you there, Nancy?
I are here.
She is, I there now.
I'm going to walk upstairs. I just finished cutting up my potatoes while I was listening. I'm going to go upstairs because they got the ball game on here.
Right.
So I will be on in like 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting for you, I'll just quickly share something. I just want to also take this time just to thank Alison for inviting us up into Wexford. I mean, her heart is so beautiful, and she's given to hospitality. We was very warmly and lovingly welcomed, and our words were received, you know, really wonderfully. And Alison's really on the ball, actually. She was speaking some great things and gave great encouragement. If you didn't get to listen to it, it's on the website. Oxford Fellowship. It was just a really great, tender time, and she really has great desire. And so I was just really thankful for that open door that God worked in her heart, and you know, just invited us up a couple of times now, and we've also invited her down when Sangate comes, and because she asked me, and I said, yeah, you're more than welcome to come. And anyone that's listening to this that's in England or Bristol or London or Timbuktu, Swindon, whatever, the doors are open to you and you are welcome. I'm very excited for Sangate's visit. We pick him up on the 21st, is it, from Porrig's and Maria in London. So we get to see Porrig and Maria. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. We've seen them the first fellowship we went down to Oxford. And then Sangate's staying in a nice area just outside of Bristol. And so we're going to have some fun. He wants to go for a Calvary. You know, like...
It's a Carvery.
Carvery, it's not Calvary. Yeah. Carvery, sorry. You want to go for a cut, like, which is like a Sunday roast, you know, you get your slice of beef or lamb or chicken or turkey or whatever, ham.
Pork,
lamb. We took him to one before and he loved it. So we're going to take him that and then whatever, you know, there's just going to be open fellowship and great time. And then Wednesday, we're not going to have fellowship on that Thursday. Because obviously it's going to be, not obviously to you, but obviously to us, it's Mayor's birthday party on the 25th of July. So we won't be doing fellowship on the Thursday, but we will be doing a fellowship here on the Wednesday. So I'll open it up on Skype if you want to join, if there's any questions or you just want to hear the fellowship, what's going on. It's an informal fellowship, so I can just leave it on, you can listen in, or if there's any questions you've got for Sangha and Beatrice, you're more than welcome to ask them. They're fantastic ministers, faithful, and have been a blessing to me and Kim, and really helped us to really see some of the wonderful things of just the simplicity of and the power of God, that we just look to God in every situation. We go to God, we don't depend on people, but we go to God, and God is the one that really opens up the doors. And so I'm very thankful for his life, and he's very a humble, wonderful, humble, meek man. So he's blessed my life, and he's blessed Kim's life. And then when they go on the Friday, which is the 26th, then Anna and Pedro will be coming. So we're really excited for these guys as well. It's going to be an awesome time, and Kim's going to look up a nice restaurant. Is going to be your wedding anniversary or something, is it? Is that correct, Anna, Petra?
Yes.
Yeah.
The 28th anniversary.
Okay. On the 28th of July.
Oh, yes. Right. Okay, so we're...
And when was ours, love?
23rd.
Oh, you remember. Oh.
Of June. 23rd of June, sorry. Yes. So I get June. I'm dyslexic, so I get June and July mixed up. Not really.
Oh, that's what I'm, will I get my card on the 23rd of July then?
Yeah, yeah, I'll get you. Right. I didn't get you one,
okay.
Did I?
No.
Okay, well, you had a nice meal, so. But yeah, so, Nancy, you there yet? Good, go for it.
I sure am. Okay. I was driving back again from the store. Our time change here with kind of doing different things than what you're doing over there, Lawrence. But in our country, we're celebrating Independence Day from Britain, which now I'm glad we're more attached to Britain personally than we ever were. But, you know, people don't realize. They think, it's day for picnics and all. But, God, I was just reading when those signers of the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, people have no idea they lost their entire families.
Yeah.
Entire families. I think one guy had 11 kids or something. They were all murdered. They were all killed.
Yeah.
And they took a stand, and they laid down their lives for us and for the truth of the word, because it was all based on the freedom that we have in God's word, you know? And I think, unfortunately, today, too many people don't really know real, true history. And, you know, these were people that were... I don't know. I put a thing on Facebook today that somebody had shared that was really great. And some of them were in shipwrecks. Some of them were it's just awful what they went through. Their entire families, all of them, because of the evil in the world. And that's why we got to stick together.
Yeah.
And thank God it's not just the United States of America. It's the United Believers for Christ is what we really are. And we're all around the world. But that was really what was on my heart. But anyway, we're very blessed. We're having a great holiday doing absolutely really nothing. I just made potato salad. Artie has made the sauce for it. And my little great-granddaughter went to her first parade today, and my granddaughter had posted her pictures of her, and she's like staring there looking like, Mom, what is this that's going on? And you got all these people marching down the street and flags and all. And it is a happy time, but it was at somebody else's cost. And so while it's they want us to celebrate. That was what they wanted, and that's what we do. And we just, you know, it's in your countries over there too, boy, you got to take a stand for the word, not for what people consider hate speech.
Yeah.
And now in California, they're trying to get the law through that you cannot teach homosexuality from the Bible because it's hate speech. So if you are a minister and you're under this, whatever it is, 501c32, whatever, where you get a tax deduction and all that,
yeah,
that you can go to jail, you can be fined if you try to correct somebody. And you know, we don't dwell on these things, but the more we see it happen and the more we know, guys, we are getting out of here soon, and people need to know that too. You know, we're supposed to teach the hope, and we're supposed to teach to watch and be ready, because we're not going to go through this stuff. But boy, and then today I shared with Lawrence, they had a 6.5 earthquake in Southern California, and they've had about 30 or 40 aftershocks now, and they don't think they're going to have anything else big, but you know, we know these are going to happen too. We just pray for the believers there that the word's getting out, you know. Oh well,
well bless
I'll
your
get
heart,
off
Nancy.
My soapbox.
That's the end of that. I'm going to stop this and introduce Kim.